all of us fall in the category of either the woman, the widow, or the wife. And in many instances in life, we travel through all three of them. So I believe God is expecting us as women, widow, and the wife. He's expecting us to have courage, determination, and discipline that he's ordained for us in this season of our lives. Courage, discipline, determination to walk boldly, not tippy toes and timidly, but to walk boldly in the path that he's ordained for us. So I went on and I said, Lord, give me a title. How do I, I'm struggling with how to wrap this up. The title he gave me was spiritual intelligence, having the courage, the discipline, determination to walk boldly in his plans for our lives. Spiritual intelligence, having the courage, the discipline, and determination to walk boldly. I'm not saying timidly, boldly in our lives, in the plans he has for our lives. He wants us to embrace his calling on our lives. He wants us to embrace where you are right now, Eno. He wants you to embrace where you are. PK, where he has you now, he wants you to embrace it, to be where you are. Miss Loretta, he wants you to embrace it, where you want, where he wants you to be. Miss Pat, he wants you to embrace where he wants, where he has you now. He wants you to have courage to walk in your calling. He wants us to be determined to do his will in our lives, and he wants us to be disciplined. Disciplined to stay in his presence. So we heard the word earlier, uncross your legs, ladies, and let God be all he is in you. He has birthed, we said the birth, he's birthed jewels. We are the jewels of the Lord. He's birthed us, and he has a plan for us. So let's pray. Lord, I just pray right now, less of me and more of you, Lord, as I unfold this story that you've implanted in my heart tonight, Lord. Lord, I am expecting changed lives. Lord, I'm expecting a change in me, and I'm expecting a change in the women who are sitting under my voice, Lord, as a result of following you, Lord. Have your way in me, Jesus, all of you and none of me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you all have been given a card. Everybody should have a card on the table. On the front it has AI, and on the back it has SI. We're going to start with the AI part, artificial intelligence. How many of you, hold up if you have smartphones in the room. Ooh, we got a lot of, lots and lots of smartphones in the room. How many of you rely on your smartphones, your smart technology to control things in your life, to control and adjust things in your life? Just raise your hand. When I say control and adjust things, some of us that have thermostats in our houses called Nest, I know that's one of the names of it, it knows when we wake up and it adjusts the temperature up. It knows when we leave the house and it adjusts it down. We have cars. We sit in our cars and the seats adjust because it knows that it's our butt and not somebody else's, and it adjusts. We have all, I hope that will come off the tape. We have all of these controls that, you know, we just wake up and they just happen. Are you familiar with that? Am I the only one in the room? And especially the young people. Well, technology learns our patterns. Think about that. Technology learns our patterns and automatically adjusts things. Temperatures, incense in the room when you walk into hotels. When you go to Best Buy, they have cameras and they recognize when the big spenders are coming in the door, and then they send people over to greet them, and they know what questions to ask them because they already know your pattern. Yes, technology, yes, that exists in certain high-end stores. They know who the big spenders are, and they know who the little spenders are, and they don't come your way, they know who to go to. So, technology has been programmed to follow our disciplines and habits, and they make adjustments. This is called artificial intelligence. It's instinctual reliance on artificial intelligence to make life easier. When I looked up the word artificial, it meant imitation made by the skills of humans. It ain't real. Artificial is artificial. It's not real. Yes. The overall goal of artificial intelligence is to create technology that allows computers and machines to function in an intelligent manner. However, the general problem of simulating or creating intelligence comes at a cost. This is a warning for us, ladies. It's a warning. Let me just share a story. I read a lot of business magazines because I'm still out there coaching business leaders, and I need to know when I'm working in that sandbox, well, what are they thinking, feeling, tasting, so that I can be led by my Holy Spirit intelligence to be able to work in that sandbox. Hang on, and I'll connect the back of the card. So I was reading recently a story in a magazine where this lady said she and her husband had smartphones. They moved in a house, and they made it a smart house. So the house knew when they awakened in the morning what to turn the temperature up to, and it knew that when they left the house with their smartphones, that was a sign to turn the temperatures down. What they forgot to tell the smart house was one day they went and got a pet, a dog. And the smart house, when they both left the house with their smartphones, the temperature in the house went up. And it was a very hot day. When they came home, they found a very, lethargic puppy dog that was sick. Artificial intelligence failed that couple for that day. So as we think about artificial intelligence, the increasing sophistication of technology, it comes with a price, ladies. We lose our ability to think for ourselves. Think about it. I know I do. I pick up the phone. Now I can let down my garage door with my phone. Somebody comes and needs to drop off a package, I can just say, pull up in my driveway, I'm gonna open the garage door, you can put it in there and I'll close it. We just think, we trust the computers. We trust our Nest systems. We trust all of this stuff. But we are losing our ability to be sensitive to what is really going on, the bigger picture, God's plan. We can get caught up in all of us. We may say we don't use it, but I bet most of us, 99% of us sitting in this room, got our phones right now, right next to us. Am I speaking truth? We rely on them that much that we can't. Long time ago, they used to be on a wall in your house. We went to church. We went to meetings and really engaged with the Lord. But no, we got to have our technology. Artificial intelligence is having what I would call a seismic effect on our lives, on the workforce. It's replacing humans with just with computers to do mundane technology. So I started thinking, I was like, Lord, Artificial intelligence is imitation. They use the word AI. And business leaders love to use it. They're making computers. They're doing it. They love to use the word artificial. And I said, I started thinking, what if us in this room as Christians, what if we instinctively trusted spiritual intelligence? The key word is instinctively trusted spiritual intelligence as much as we trust and instinctively rely on artificial intelligence. How, just think about that for a minute in our walks. How much you and I rely on technology for us to get from minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day. It's a warning for us, ladies. So as I was thinking about this, I said, well, what does the Bible say about artificial intelligence? And I went to my little phone. But you know what? I didn't ask Siri. I went to my Bible study app, and I asked, because I'm looking for spiritual intelligence, not fake intelligence. I went to my Bible study app, and I was like, what does the Bible say about artificial intelligence? And I was blown away in a good way. Here were the two scriptures that popped up. Romans 1, 21 through 23. For although they knew God, they did not honor. Honor means place in high esteem. They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. This other verse that came up, Isaiah 43:10. You are my witnesses, declare the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I'm not saying artificial intelligence is all bad. However, what I'm saying is, it's time for us to be consciously aware. We've got to be consciously aware of not being futile, of not relying on mundane things of the world to be just, that we're just led by a leash. You know, our phones are leading us. Technology is leading us. I'm suggesting turn over your card to the spiritual intelligence. I'm suggesting that our human decisions and our thoughts and actions start from a spiritual intelligence place, be led by the Spirit, as opposed to be led by what technology. And it's kind of like, I'm trying to think of this, I may not say this right, but I think you'll get the idea. If you know, if you put frogs in a pot of water, and they'll just gradually die. You started off slow. I felt like as I was preparing this message, this was the warning. The Lord is like, women, widows, wives, slow down and be aware of what intelligence is guiding you. Be aware of what you are allowing to lead you and to guide you. We are so very busy. When you look up the word busy, you might see my name. Impatient, you might see my name. At least that's what my husband and all my friends tell me. But so it spoke loudly to me. I don't want to be a frog. I want to raise the awareness of how much am I really relying on my spiritual intelligence to guide me through my days as opposed to technology? Technology is an enabler. And I think Pastor Gilbert said the two vision Sunday. You know, we are in the world. And we've got to be aware of what's going on in the world. But we got to see the bigger picture. And we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit intelligence. And I believe that when we have this spiritual intelligence, we have the courage, the discipline, and determination to follow Jesus, I believe we will walk in freedom. And when walking in freedom, what happens when circumstances change in our lives? Guess what? We automatically adjust. We immediately and instinctively just tell the enemy, or tell any, talk to the hand. We give it the slant eye. We speak words over those situations. We've got to know that when the situations change, that we don't run to our phone and say, well, what does Charles Stanley say? Or what does whoever we call on say? We've got to be able to pull up the word from our heart and be able to speak to that situation immediately, instinctively. Why? Because in Hebrews 6:11 it says, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So I'm wanting us to really think about, as we face our valley experiences, as we deal with situations, start thinking about, am I adjusting? Is my temperature or my response to a situation changing the way the Lord says it should go? Or am I just like a boiled frog? I just kind of move along, you know, and let fear comes in, you know, let discouragement come on, and I just fall prey to what the world is doing. I wait till Siri tell me to wake up, or I wait till, you know, another problem comes along and jack me up. I'm saying we have to listen and be in his presence to know what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Then I said, well, Lord, help me to put this in the context of Jonah. So he said, I want you to look at two people, Jonah and Esther. So I'm going to just remind you of what happened with Jonah. And we're going to talk about spiritual intelligence and AI in the Jonah story. So Jonah only has 4 chapters. When I opened the book, I was like, okay, Lord, that's not so long. Okay. But anyway, my impatient me and So I'm going to read the synopsis of it. So Jonah 4, running away from God. One day long ago, God's word came to Jonah. Up on your feet, he says, and on your way to the big city of Nineveh. Preach to them. They are in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer. But Jonah got up. Say AI. Jonah got up and went the other direction. How many of us go the other direction? God is speaking. Sometimes he's speaking. We so fast we don't hear him. And we go with artificial intelligence and go instead of going with spiritual intelligence. He went down to the port of Joppa and found a ship headed for Tarshish. He paid the fare and went on board, joining those to Tarshish as far away from God as he can get. Okay? You know what? When I think about artificial intelligence, what's sad is sometimes we don't even know we're moving away from God. We're just going with the comforts of life, the comforts of our situations, and we just shut him down and we listen to Siri. You know, we listen to whatever the next book is out there that tells us what to do. But God sent a huge storm at sea, the waves towering. The ship was about to break into pieces. The sailors were terrified. They called out in desperation to their gods. So they had some artificial intelligence going on. They threw everything they were carrying overboard to lighten up the ship. Jonah was sound asleep. The captain came to him and said, what's this? Sleeping. Get up. Pray to your God. Maybe your God will see we're in trouble and rescue us. Then the sailor said to one another, let's go to the bottom of this. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's draw straws, our artificial intelligence, to identify the culprit on this ship who's responsible for this disaster. So they drew straws, and who got the short straw? Jonah got the short straw. So let me move on. They threw him over. Jonah said, just throw me overboard. The storm will stop. As long if you get me out of here. They threw him overboard, and God comes along and he assigns a huge fish. God assigned a huge fish. How many of you know that God has assignments for us? He has us in that walk. The woman, the wife, the widow, he has assignments for us, ladies. God assigned a huge fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the fish belly for 3 days and three nights. Now he's at the bottom of the sea. Now Jonah prays. How many of us can relate? He told us, and we told God, talk to the hand. And we gave him the slant eye. We did what we were going to do. Now we come back to our spiritual intelligence. He prayed. And he says, he prayed, in trouble, deep trouble, I prayed to God. He answered me from the belly of the grave. I cried help. You heard my cry, God. You threw me into the ocean's depth, into a watery grave, with ocean waves, ocean breakers crashing over me. I've been thrown away, thrown out of your sight. I'll never again lay eyes on your holy temple. The ocean gripped me by the throat. He thought he was gone. You know, he was like, God, you won't see me again. But then, say spiritual intelligence. Yet you pull me up from the grave alive. Oh, God, my God. When my life was slipping away, I remembered God. And my prayer got through to you and made it all the way to your holy temple. Those who worship hollow gods, God frauds, walk away from their only true love, but I'm worshiping you, God. Jonah was really, he was singing. I mean, he was like, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this time. Then you go all the way to Jonah 3. Jonah starts listening to artificial intelligence again. Artificial intelligence sometimes looks like our own thinking. You know, our ideas. So he thought maybe God would change his mind. So next, God spoke to Jonah a second time. He said, up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh. I told you to preach to them. They're in a bad way and I can't ignore it. Okay? Say spiritual intelligence. This time, Jonah started off straight for Nineveh, obeying God's orders to the letter. Nineveh was a big city, very big. It took 3 days to walk across it. And in the last part of the chapter, Jonah was furious again. He lost his temper. He yelled at God. I knew it. When I was back home, I knew this was going to happen. That's why I ran off to Tarshish. I knew you were sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered, rich in love, and ready to drop of a hat to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness. That's our God. That's our God. Long story short, at the end, God, the end of Jonah 4, 10 through 11, God said, what's this? How is it that you can change your feelings? We talked about artificial intelligence. It deals with how we feel, the temperatures in the room, our habits. You know, all of that programs the computers and programs things in life. Our feelings from pleasure to anger overnight about a mere shade tree that you did nothing to get. You neither planted nor watered it. It grew up one night and died the next night. God says, why can't I likewise change what I feel about Nineveh from anger to pleasure, this big city of more than 120,000 childlike people who you don't yet know right from wrong, to say nothing of all the innocent animals. Jonah learned from his running away from God and his, you know, being in the belly of the fish, and when he reached his lowest point, he still, at the end, recognized spiritual intelligence is the best route to go. He saw when he followed his feelings and ran from God, it was getting him nowhere. But when he started listening to what God had to say, and he saw that there was a bigger plan going on, the 120,000, a nation of people, God has a plan for us, ladies. He has a plan for us. And shortly about Esther. Esther was an orphan. Esther is an example of applying spiritual intelligence from the beginning. She didn't waste time. She knew it was a bigger plan. She knew that there was God. She knew that she was there not for Esther, but for her people, for a nation of people. She displayed great courage in the midst of the crisis. You know, Esther had to go before the king, and she had the courage. What did Esther do? She asked for her people to fast and pray. She asked for fasting and prayer. She humbled herself, and she asked her people to join her in fasting and praying for 3 days, 3 nights. She said, God used at this imperfect woman, that would be you and I, by placing us in strategic places of importance. He has a bigger plan. What he has you doing, you think you're just impacting your household. You think you're just impacting maybe your office. You may even think you're just impacting your bedroom. But it's not about what you think. It's about his bigger plan for you. And the only way we know to do that, know how to access that, is we have to believe God knows. He knows when we have truly heard his word. How many of you believe that? He knows, like Jonah. He knew that Jonah, he knew from the beginning Jonah was going to talk to the hand. He knew that. He knew that Jonah was going to come back. He knew what Esther was going to do. God knows when we have truly heard his word and that it will bear fruit sooner or later. I'm grateful that he knows that. He also knows it's not so much the adversity or the trials that makes us anxious. Guess what, ladies? It's more about our thoughts and our feelings. We get caught up in the issue or the problem at hand. But when we apply spiritual intelligence, the remedy there is that we've got to switch our focus from the problem to being in God's presence. The minute we can do that, the minute we can, when we face the problem, we find a scripture that we know we can stand on. Mine is the Lord didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And even when it gets hard, I go to the 23rd song. Yea, though do I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil. Sometimes it's just as simple as that. It's quoting those scriptures in the midst of your storm and watch God turn it around. Not necessarily remove it, but position you. What I will say, she changes the atmosphere. He changes the atmosphere in your heart and in your mind that will allow us to walk through whatever it is he wants us to walk through. Just like Jonah, we know that the Lord will not go after us, but he will not plead with us, but every time he meets us at the place where he has pointed us, he just waits on us to say, okay, Lord, I hear you now. I'm tired of butting my head up against this wall. I hear you. So he wants to encourage you that we have a source of power. We have a source of constancy. We have a source of steadfastness for our emotions if we allow the word to be what the basis of what we think and feel. We can experience that unshakable, that unspeakable, unspeakable joy in the midst of our circumstances. We saw Esther did it right away. It took Jonah a couple of trials to make it happen, but he did. In Ephesians 3, Paul is in prison. If you can imagine, Paul is behind bars in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Here's what Paul prayed for us. He says, my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him. Open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test this length, plumb the depths, rise to the highest heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you can ever imagine, guess, or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. As you can tell from that prayer, Paul's prayer is not a prayer so much of knowledge for us. His prayer is that the love of Christ, that if we love Christ, that the love illumines and brings to life the pages of the scripture. He's wanting us to really, with that spiritual intelligence, is get on your knees, literally and figuratively, pray, and ask God to bring that word to life. Did you know that the word is power? And the more we read it and grab a hold to it, it just brings the scriptures to life. So when we talk about spiritual intelligence in the context of courage, discipline, and determination, courage is the quality of mind, a spirit that enables a person to face the difficulty. We want to have the quality of mind to say, I can face this because through Christ, all things. We have to face our circumstances from a spiritual perspective. And what does that look like when you have courage? You begin to walk in supernatural responses like trusting and thanking him. You start thanking the Lord that he has accomplished whatever it is he's prayed for. You start fasting and praying like Esther. You stay in his presence. So when you have that quality of mind, the courage, you're saying, I'm trusting him. I'm thanking him. No matter what it looks like right now, I can do that. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try and figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Spiritual intelligence. Don't let the problem overrun you, but apply the spiritual intelligence to help you know that God knows it. So what is determination? The act of coming to a decision or fixing or settling a purpose. We must slow down and be consciously aware of where God is leading us. I mean, the world is just going to continue to get busy. It's not going to slow down for us at all. And we just can't get overwhelmed. So we've got to have the determination, make a decision that I'm going to have a quality of being resolute to follow God's word and truth. I'm going to this day choose to follow God's truth. Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We stop facing our situations from a artificial intelligence, a common sense perspective, but through the Holy Spirit. we must learn to have, and this is, I love, I was reading this in one of my devotions one day. We must learn to have the same spiritual intelligence and boldness when we're in the valley as we had on the mountaintop. Think about that. You know, when the Lord has answered a prayer for you and you walked through that valley and you're on, we got to have that same level of fierceness and boldness when we're in the valley, when we're in the trenches. Because God is our, he's heard our prayers. We have to trust him. So we got to operate as if that thing is already done. So how do we do that? Through discipline. Discipline is training to act in accordance with rules. It's activity, exercise, a regimen that develops or improves a skill, a habit, or training. We talked about artificial intelligence. They program it based on our habits and our training. So we got to train our bodies to be able to stay in the word and to stay in his presence. So when we have discipline, we stay in his presence. We see things, when things seem to be going wrong, we trust him. When things are out of control, we thank him. And when we need new direction of life in life, we seek him. That's what we do. But you know, we stumble because we're ignorant of the way God made us and his bigger plan. We don't see the bigger plan. But his ask of us tonight is, don't just see you like you see yourself today. We've got to understand that he uniquely made us and that there is a bigger plan out there. We've got to look at our lives like this. You know, when you have professions, how many nurses do we have in here? Teachers. I see a nurse. We got teachers, doctors, athletes. In order to be at the top of your game, and whatever it is, you have disciplines. You got to eat right. You got to exercise. You got to understand the rules of the game. Guess what? We are children of God. How many of us wake up every day saying, I'm a child of God, and I need to read the rules? I need to understand the disciplines I need to walk in so that I can do what he called me to do. But we don't. We wake up and we pick up our smartphones. We rely on artificial intelligence to remind us where we got to go. All he's asking is courage, determination to know that he has a bigger plan and to just start developing some disciplines. Here's a quote that I love by John Maxwell. He says, our growth is similar to that of a tree. As we learn and grow, we add new rings of understanding without giving up the older ones. We build using the past to strengthen us and create something new. So, what are we expecting from God today? As we sit through the rain, I'm coming to a close. What are we expecting from God today, tomorrow? What are our expectations of God for our wants and goals? What are we expecting? I believe as a Christian, there are two things that I continue to experience in my life as a Christian woman and wife. Spiritual courage, discipline, and determination, lived out in flesh over and over again. I experienced that I've got to have that spiritual courage and discipline and determination, and I just, it's just a part of me. I have to live it out over and over and over again. Jesus warns us in the Bible. He says, take heed and let no one deceive you. We have to wake up and establish some disciplines as Christian women in our walk. And first, believe, and second, follow his word. We have to believe the Lord. When we think about the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, as he's getting ready to be hung on the cross, We oftentimes look at that from our fleshly perspective, you know, that he is being hung on the cross. But God is trying to introduce us to an identification with himself through that Gethsemane experience. He wants us to see that we too have our Gethsemane experiences. He didn't just die on the cross and that was the end. After he came back, he had life. He's wanting us to see that as we walk through our experiences, we don't need to be, you know, walking in defeat. He's saying he wants us to see the meaning of it and recognize that there's victory on the other side. So if we can start looking at that Gethsemane experience, not just from our, as it being the end and default, but looking at the other side of it, that out of it comes victory. So the second one, and I said it earlier, the height of our mountaintop is measured by the dismal drudgery in the valley. What we need to understand is God's way of maturing us. He uses our external circumstances to bring about internal purification. We go through trials. How many of you can think about trials you had 10 years ago, and because of that trial 10 years ago, you are so much better off today as a result of that? So I say, ask God, as women, widows, and wives, ask God to guide you into new depths of his heart and spiritual intelligence today. Ask him to show you something about himself that you don't know. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to search out his incredible mysteries. There are mysteries out there that he has for us. And we have to spend time in that word and allowing that word to illuminate in our hearts. Choose the joy of the Lord over the stress and the cares of the world. Choose to be led forth by spiritual intelligence rather than led by your flesh and artificial intelligence. So I close with the following prayer points. Father God, I just pray tonight, Lord, your word in Colossians says, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of this house, of our hearts. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense, spiritual sense, and sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. Teach us, Lord, to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Lord, I just close by saying we trust you from the bottom of our heart. Help us, Lord, to just try and figure out everything on our own, Lord. Help us not to assume that we know everything. Help us to not live lives like boiled frogs, Lord. Help us to be different. Help us to wake up and have the spiritual sense on how to apply the artificial intelligence in our lives, Lord. Let us this night, Lord, choose to be more aware of who we are, who you are in us, Lord, and to be led with your disciplines, Lord, to have the courage to follow your word, to have the determination to do your word, Lord. I ask all of this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to turn the mic over to...